Earth is limited. It's the hardest thing that we do, face death, but it's inevitable. It is something that none of us can avoid, and oftentimes it feels so final, right? That there's nothing more and you're powerless. But my friends, even though our life on this earth is limited, we have the gift, if we choose to accept it, of entering into God's kingdom. But here's the thing with that. Like any journey, there are perils, there are problems along the way. In fact, I will say this, there is a concentrated effort. There's intentional effort to prevent each one of us from entering into God's kingdom, because we face an enemy who's made it his mission, his focus, to keep us separated from God. That's the reality of this world. The enemy rules this world, and so he does not want us to find this hope of eternity in God. Whether you and I choose to accept it, we are in the middle of a war. We can choose to do our part, or we can choose to ignoring it. But I'll tell you, when we ignore it, we're not going to escape it. We will have brokenness and problems and hurts and wounds that will keep us separated from God and one another. And in fact, that's what he does. He separates people. How many times have people left the church because someone said something or did something that they were hurt by? Bitterness, anger. You see, that's not from God. And so when that happens, that starts the snowball of keeping people away from the church, right? Because we are the church. We are the body of Christ. And then that leads to being separated from God. The message we hear today is, through Jesus, he says, look, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent, change your ways, change your direction, because I came to give you life. I came to turn you back on the right path. But the choice is yours, whether you're going to turn back to me, repent, and change. Today, as we hear this message, let us pray for the Spirit to speak to us. And when the Spirit speaks, sometimes the Spirit does things. He does things in a way we don't want. Like, I didn't want to cry. But guess what? I was led to. When God poured the Holy Spirit on Jesus, that dove that came and rested on Jesus when he was baptized, he immediately went in the wilderness. Do you honestly think Jesus wanted to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights? No. He was fully human. Why would he want to not eat? Why would he want to suffer when he didn't have to? Because God's Holy Spirit entered in and led him down a path so that we would find forgiveness of sins. That would ultimately lead him to the cross, but beyond the cross, the resurrection. So let us pray as we try to understand what it means when Jesus says to us, the kingdom is near. When Jesus says, repent, change your ways. What does that mean? Let them not just be words, but a way of life so that we can truly turn back to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we don't know so many things, and your plan for us, we confess we get caught up in this kingdom of this earth and the way things should be and the way they're not. And that keeps us away from you, separated from you. It takes us a different path. But today, as we hear the words of Jesus, Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us. Help us to hear your words. And also, give us the strength to follow you, as hard as it may be. All this we pray in Christ. Amen. Amen. So what do we read today? Jesus is baptized in the River Jordan, and the dove descends upon him. Jesus, as I said, didn't really need to be baptized, but he did everything he did for you and I. So that baptism was a reminder to us that we need to be baptized. We need to be cleansed by our Lord. We need to allow the Spirit to fill us so that we have the right Spirit within us. Create in me a new heart. That's what we read on Ash Wednesday, and that's what we proclaimed. And so in order for us to be really connected back to God, we have to have the Holy Spirit enter in and create a right spirit in us. And so, baptism begins that journey. Whether you're a child, right? Sometimes we do baptisms as a child, but in the United Methodist Church, we have confirmation, which is a time. So baptism is when the parents and the guardians and the sponsors and the church makes the promise to pray for the child and raise up the child in God's ways. And then when it comes time for that child for themselves to make that decision, that's when they confirm their faith when they were baptized. So that's what confirmation is. You see, though, we need to have that moment. That moment where we truly accept the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, in our hearts. So that's what happens. Jesus is baptized and the Holy Spirit lands on him. And then he's sent off in the wilderness, tested by Satan. You know, Mark is the shortest chapter, 16 chapters, and we don't have details about the temptation. But in other gospel lessons, we do. And maybe that's a lesson for another time. You know, seriously, everything in the Bible, we could spend our whole lifetime talking about it and digging through it, and it would be enough. So today, I'm kind of limited on time, so I'm going to try to, you know, stick to one topic. We're not going to go to the temptations, but we do know that he went into the wilderness to be tempted. And then, so all these things, there's a sense of urgency, right? If you read, as we read the gospel, it says immediately. And then the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And remember when the disciples are called? They immediately drop their nets and follow Jesus. My friends, we don't have much time. Our time on this earth is limited. Know this. We are heading towards sure and certain death. But the thing that we hear today is the kingdom of God has come near. So that's what Jesus said. Look, you're going to leave this earth soon enough. You can try all you want to hold on to it. You can try to prove to the world that you are successful, that you're doing well. But I see your heart. I see the brokenness. I see what you don't want others to see. I even see what you yourself are not ready to face. That's why Jesus came. I see that the direction you're heading is far from me. And so Jesus came to say, all right, wrong direction, but I'm going to show you the right way. But now it's your choice whether you're going to repent and come back to me. The fact is, my friends, the direction we are going is of this world. So here's the thing. We've got the kingdom of this world, okay? We've got this world that has all these rules and ways of living, and then we've got the kingdom of God. And today we hear Jesus saying, the kingdom of God, it's coming. It's, make no mistake. You know that hourglass? You turn it down, the sands are going down on the other side. You can't stop the hourglass, the sands of time. You and I do not have that gift or that power. You know, some in this world do a great job at it. They eat well, which is awesome. I'm not knocking eating well. I'm not knocking exercise too. And so they look young for a while. And, you know, some get a little extra help maybe, some doctors. But we won't talk about that today because, again, limited here. We try our best to be immortal, to keep our bodies well and fit. And that's all good stuff. But when that becomes first, that is the direction and focus of our lives. My friends, we're fighting a losing battle. It's not going to last. The kingdom of God has already started. It is at hand. That is the message that Jesus gives to us. So we don't need to fear. We don't need to fear death even. In this world, we will have troubles. So I know, my friends, that sometimes these struggles and these problems, they're heavy, right? You and I cannot handle them. They disturb us. But the kingdom of this world has got us all turned around in the wrong direction. You know, it says you do what you want. It does not tell us to repent. In fact, it tells us to go after what you desire, what you want. You do you. You've heard that, right? That's, I think, the message of this world. Just focus on you. You do you. The kingdom of God, however, what Jesus says, no, sacrifice. Depend on God. Follow the hard path. Carry your cross. That's what Jesus said to us. So let's look at a little bit closer what Jesus says. Repent. So here's what repentance means. Repentance means to feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or one's sin. One of the challenges for us, and maybe I'll speak for myself. I won't speak about you. Unless we get caught, we don't feel the need to repent. Let me explain. So I drive. Do I go over the speed limit? Yeah. But unless I'm caught, I don't think about it. Is it a wrong thing I'm doing? Absolutely. I should not speed. And trust me, I'm not crazy. But you know, even a little, it's wrong. I should not speed. I get that. I'm confessing. But unless I'm caught, I don't think too much about it. How many of us have done things that when we don't get caught, we don't think too much about it? Maybe an unkind word? Maybe other things that we know don't please God? Our thoughts? Our actions? I don't need to tell you. Each one of us has sinned. Each one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And our sin has taken us away from the path to the kingdom of heaven. Our sin is about listening to the world that tells us accumulate wealth. It's all about success, what other people think of you, look at you. It's about being powerful. God tells us a whole different story. So my friends, the kingdom of this world is crumbling. You don't believe me? Look at the wars. Look at the violence. Look at the broken homes. Look at the broken families. Look at the hurt in your own heart, and you will understand that this world is crumbling. You can convince yourself. You can convince others, but we cannot convince God. And so that's why Jesus came, because we are hurtling down not just the wrong path, but towards death, towards eternal separation from God. So Jesus came to get us back on the right path to the kingdom of heaven. And the way to the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is to repent. Sincerely repent. Recognize that what we are doing is sin. When we choose to do things our way, when we try and rely on our understanding, and then we get angry at someone because they just haven't done it right, or whatever way that you choose to focus on your own self rather than God. That's sin, my friends, in a nutshell. Whenever we seek our own understanding, our own ways, our own path, that is sin. When we are the God of our lives. So the world is crumbling, but Jesus came to give us some good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. Have you experienced the kingdom, my friends? Have you experienced the Spirit? See, here I go again. Spirit. If you have, it's an amazing thing. You know, I've been praying for you. I have been. The reason I went into ministry is because I saw lives changed. I used to work at Covenant House, where I saw kids hurting, feeling no one cares. And so, as I work with them, as I talk to God about them, I saw their hearts change and their spirits just come alive. And so God said, now I want you to do that with adults. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that with adults because I want a little control of my life. Guess what? It didn't work with God. And here I am. That feeling, that knowledge that God is working in the people that I get the privilege of interacting with, that I can't even begin to explain to you. We've started a 40-day journey. We've been reading the book, I hope you have, 40 Days of Prayer. And maybe that's why I'm like this, because as I read the book, I'm reminded of the power of prayer. So what I've done, as God put it on my heart, as I've read the book, is pray for each one of you, for this church, that there would be revival. that the Spirit would come down on each one of us, and you and I are broken. Do not convince yourself otherwise. And I've heard some of the stories, and it breaks my heart to hear the pain, you know, to hear the struggle, whether it's a health issue, whether it's an emotional issue or a mental health, I don't know. All of us have something we're going through. And so as I have heard all these stories, I feel it. But through this book, 40 Days of Prayer, I've been giving it to God, and I've been praying for you, for us. I pray that just like Jesus showed us how he opened himself up to the Spirit, how Jesus went into the wilderness but relied on the Word of God to help him fight those temptations and those tests, that you and I will grow in spirit through Bible study, through prayer, that you and I in this place, in this church, would allow the Spirit to move us from our little place, the way we've always done things, and be open to the Spirit who will lead us back to the kingdom of God, which is at hand. Because, you know, if we continue the way we've been doing, we're not. You can say that you're a Christian, but unless until Christ is the center of your life, we're not. And I say we. You know why the church is dying? Not just here, everywhere. And we're not exempt, my friends. Don't convince yourself otherwise. Unless our spirits, our hearts are truly open to Christ coming in, to the Holy Spirit coming in and allowing us to give sacrificially of our time. Yes, our time to serve. Not to say they've always done it and so they'll do it. And talents. The talents you have, they're a gift from God. They're not something you have earned. They're not something I have figured out on my own. They are a gift from God. So how are you using your talents? Your money, my money. It's not ours. It's a gift from God to do the work that we've been given in this church, in this place, for this time, for this season, so that others would know about the good news of the kingdom. You and I have to open ourselves to the Spirit and let go. And sometimes it means looking foolish. Are you kidding me? I feel so foolish with the tears. But guess what? I gave my life to God. And he tells me. And the reading for tomorrow, by the way, for the 40 days of prayer, I went ahead. I've done the book before. But that tells us that sometimes we're going to look foolish for God. But it's okay. It's okay. Because if it's for God and his kingdom, then that's all that matters. So, my friends, as we hear the message today, the kingdom of God is near. It's coming, if it hasn't already. As we hear that message, may we be truly able to repent, not just with our words, no, with our hearts, our spirits. He doesn't want us to rend our clothing, like on the surface, you know, look like we're religious and we're praying. Uh-uh, he sees our hearts. He doesn't want us to rend our clothing. He wants us to rend our hearts. Repent. For the kingdom of God is here. May we enter into it. And may we turn back to our Lord and cling to that cross. Cling to our Lord and open ourselves to the Spirit. Amen.